chapter in God's Word. Turn with me, if you will, to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, to the last chapter in Malachi, and verse number 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2. You found your place. It reads, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." I'm going to read it again. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Just a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the knowledge that you're ever present. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us, so that we could boldly say, "The Lord is our helper." Father, I desperately need your help. I pray that you would speak to each heart. And Lord, as was mentioned last evening, we would become the conduit through which you would pour, so that those that sat before us may drink water from the fountain of life. May your children be edified and strengthened, and if there's one here that's out of the ark of safety, speak, Lord, to their heart, we pray. Thank you again for the word we have heard in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice in the verse that I read to you the phrase, "Son of Righteousness." That's the words I'm interested in tonight. Son of Righteousness. I want to look at it in this aspect. In Psalm 84 and verse 11 it said, "For the Lord God is a son." Here is a picture of Christ that is given to us. When the word son here is given to us in the Hebrew language, it's the word brilliant. He's telling you and me that here's a typical picture of the glory of God, of the brightness, of the purity. And of course what he's telling us, that this instrument of nature, the Son, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that everything God created, he created to point to Christ? Amen. He saved you and me to point to Christ. All of eternity will point to Christ. You can't get away from Christ when you're in the presence of God. I'm going to jump right in. I'm not going to introduce. I'm just going to start talking. The Son, the fountain of light. Christ, the light. We're using a symbol of nature to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us. You'll remember with me in your mind's eye back in the first chapter of Genesis and verse number 16, it said, "The greater light to rule the day." Is the type of Christ who is the Son of Righteousness. I want you to notice how that in this first chapter of Genesis that the Word of God is turning our attention to Christ. he said, first of all, he tells how that he brooded over and creation was there. Then he jumps to the New Testament and he talks about the Virgin Mary and said she was overshadowed. Brood and overshadowed. The same truth in these words that had been given to you and me. Second of all, in verse number 3 of chapter 1 of Genesis, as soon as Mary brought forth this holy child, the Bible clearly tells us in no uncertainty whatsoever, he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the thing that's going to happen is the shadow of the highest is going to overshadow thee. See how it ties together? God is revealing to us, even in creation, His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is pointing His divine finger in the direction to get you to look at His Son. He opens His Bible up, the very first chapter, and He's pointing in that direction. He creates the light and He said it's good. Then He turns around and He tells us in His Word that God saw the light and it was good. Then in the New Testament He said, could I tell you that I'm well pleased with my Son? What I'm trying to do is to get you to look here and see that God is only interested in getting you to His Son because that's the only way He can get you to Himself. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation. You see, I've said it 3 or 4 times already, without Jesus you won't make heaven. It's an impossibility to do so. I noticed that He said in that first chapter that He divided the darkness from the light. Then we come to the New Testament and He tells us that what communion has darkness with light? Let me say this and I'll move on. When He come into your life, He separated you from the darkness. You see, a separation took place. God is moving you away from the darkness and bringing you into this wonderful light. It's the light of the gospel of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Here, the reason I was looking up, I was trying to figure out if the light was on or not. I'm not seeing too good for some reason. God called the light day. You see, we come to this blessed book, the Bible, and it said, I want to tell you about the light of the world. He's going to talk to us about the Lord Jesus Christ and this holy child that has been born. Are you listening? That God has launched into time out of eternity. Whom He calls in Malachi, the Son of Righteousness. He said He's the light of the world. He's the source. He's the sustenance of this light. Would you notice with me that Jesus said in John 8 and verse number 12, He said, I'm the light of the world. I said that to say to you, Jesus said, I'm incomparable. Watch this. I'm the light of the world. There is no other one. He's the only light of the world. Oh, you say, but He said, you're the light of the world. I don't want to get into that because I'd run a rabbit in that direction. And I would like for you to come back tomorrow night, so I'm not going to keep you that long. But He said, I'm the light of the world. It's a staggering claim that the Lord Jesus Christ is making here. He is telling that He sells the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. Every other light pales like a candle in the light of the noonday sun when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's no one to compare Him with. He's not a light. He's the light of the world. But when I looked at that, and I noticed that He was the light of the world, I noticed that it was not only incomparable, this Lord Jesus Christ, but He was illumination. Notice that He said, I am the light of the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5 it is, He said, for whosoever doth make manifest His light. You see, light exposes what is unseen. I'm going to say it again. He said here that He was the light of the world. He's the illumination. You don't know wrong outside of God. It was God's law that revealed sin to you. He's the illumination of everything that's right and godly and holy. He's incomparable. He's illumination. Oh my goodness. I see something. What is the field of this illumination? He's the light of the world. The field is the whole world. Oh, it's a planet. God's darling Son is the light of a planet. There's no way to get the sweep of that. You can say it, but how do you get a hold of it? He said, I'm the light of the world. The next clause comes so quickly, we run over it. We miss what God's saying. I ask you, when He said, I am the light of the world, what is the next word? Don't speak it. The reason I said don't speak it is, I've used this illustration before. And I'd always say, somebody tell me what the next word is. 99% of the time they'll say, believe it. You see, you missed it. It's not believe it. It's He. Watch this. He jumps from a planet to a person so quick we run right over it. Sure, He's the light of the world. But you see, when it does you some good is when it becomes personal. He that believeth on Him. You still with me? You say, I said when we started, He's the light of the world. That's big. But God jumps right down to the individual. You see, it never did me a dime's worth of good knowing that Jesus was the light of the world until it become personal just between me and God. Isn't that awesome? And we run right across. What are you saying? To you and me. That's the field of the world. But what about the function of this light? It searches. It judges. But when it talks about the Word of God judging, He's talking about in John chapter 8, verse number 16, He said, if I do judge, if I do decide, if I do distinguish, He said, here is the functioning of that light. And it functions in verse number 44. He tells us about Satan and he says that he's a liar and he's the father of lies. When he gives us that verse, what is he doing? He's judging. He's saying that Satan, are you listening? Is the king of darkness. He's telling us that he's the liar of the universe. He's revealing something to us. He said, now, I don't, but if I do judge, my judgment is right. Are you still with me? You see, He gave us the light so that you and I could see what God was desiring, what God was distinguishing as right and wrong or His will for your heart and for your life? He's telling us clearly how light is functioning. You come into this auditorium and sit down, and the man of God gets up and opens the Word of God. And we read in the Word of God, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. And the Word of God is given out. And all of a sudden, the light of God starts making decisions in your heart and life. It's called conviction. He's drawing you to Himself. He's allowing you to see that you need a Savior. That you need to be in the will of God yourself. It's the function of light to reveal truth. I say again, the Son is the fountain of light. And Christ is that light. Second of all, the Son is the cause of life. And Christ is that life. This Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 4, it said, in Him was life. So if this life is in Him, you're going to have to come to Him to get this life that He's going to give away. You can struggle, you can do all that, but there's nothing you can do to produce life. But Christ produced physical life, moral life, spiritual life, eternal life. He's the significance of it all. We live because of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All of us in creation have life in Him. Because life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. Now when I say all of us, I'm talking about that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Then you and I share the life that He had. In other words, he's saying that Jesus is the source. Here's where you come to get it. In John 1 verse number 11, he said, this life is in His Son. You see, He is the source of physical life. He said in verse 4, in Him was life. He's the source of spiritual life. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He's the source of moral life. He said in chapter 1 and verse 4, and the life was the light of men. Then He is the source of eternal life. John 10, 28, I give unto them eternal life. You see, it doesn't matter where it's at. Your life is coming from God. God gave you your physical life. God wants to give you His spiritual life. He wants to show you what moral life is all about. You see, we need to walk in the footprints of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because He is the light of the world. No, notice that the light that He gave is not anemic. It's abounding. I am come that you might have life. I have a sermon that I preach on this. I hadn't preached in years and years and years, but I was brought to my memory just now. I preached on life after the comma. He said, I am come that you might have life, comma, and that you might have it more abundantly. And I preach on the more abundant life. It's the life after the comma. You see, you can get saved and God give you life. But God wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to be filled, oh my goodness, with Himself. He's the source of life. It transcends anything else. It's known in the Scripture as triumphant life. Oh yeah, it's victorious. You don't have to drag this life around. Some it'll put, here's my Georgia Mountain Greek, it'll put spizzorinctum in you. It'll put something in you to keep it going for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only the source of this life, He's the sustenance of this life. He that hath the Son hath life because He is the substance of Christ who is our life. I wonder if the life you live, if it's the Lord Jesus living all over again. That's what He said. That's the reason you're a Christian. The word Christian, He's telling you, you're just a little Christ. It started out in the book of Acts as mockery. making fun of those little ones following Christ. We've taken it today and put it in a place of honor. And what an honor it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I see here the Son, which is the fountain of light. Christ, who is the source of life. He's the substance of life. Christ, our life. One more and I'll be through. The Son, the ruler of the day. Christ, the Lord. You see, the psalmist said, the Son shall rule the day. When Christ comes into your heart and life, dear child of God, He comes in to take over. A lot of times we rebel when we start using terminology like that, because none of us want nobody telling us what to do. What do you think has happened to our youth today? Well, the first thing was mamas and daddies quit being mamas and daddies. They let Dr. Spock tell them how to raise their kids instead of Dr. Jesus. Forgive me. I have a problem there, so He's to rule and to reign. You say, nobody gonna tell me what to do. They will if you get right with God. Because He rules the day. And He'll rule your heart and life. He's a master. He's a Lord. He takes over. He didn't come in to be told what to do. He comes in to tell you what to do. Isn't that true? Absolutely, because He is the Lord of our life. He's the Son of Righteousness. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again because it comes to my mind. In Matthew 28 and verse number 18, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He ain't no weakling. Jesus Christ is no pushover. He is a Lord. And He rules. His influence is sovereignty. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's God and He's going to rule the day. He's the true light that cometh into the world. Absolutely. You see, not only His influence, but we see His impartiality. You see, He's the sun and it shines on the just and the unjust. Have you ever noticed that there's wicked people that's got a lot more than you got? There's a lot of people that's saved by the grace of God that's got a lot less than you've got. God is impartial. He don't care if you're Welsh or an American. He doesn't care if you're an African or a Jamaican. God loved the world. Amen. And He's impartial. I just thought of something funny, and every once in a while I have a foolish streak. In the church where I grew up as a teenager, we had a precious lady in the congregation. I mean a precious lady. She was old. She walked with a walking stick. She stood about 4'6" tall. Every once in a while, she'd want to testify. And the pastor never did see her. And so she'd just stand up. And she'd just stand there. After a while, Brother Blevins, that was our pastor, he'd say, yes, Granny, what do you want? She said, I want to testify. He said, well, testify. She said, Brother Blevins, she didn't call him Blevins, she called him Belvins. Brother Belvins, you're just like God. He said, oh, no, Granny, I'm not like God. She said, oh, yes, you are. I read in the Bible where you were no respectable person. She You see the inference, you see the impartiality of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is no invariableness in Christ. I am the Lord and I change not. The Baptists have changed. The Methodists have changed. Homes have changed. Could I say it that even Christians have changed? Now they allow things they didn't used to allow. I was raised in a godly home and I praise His name for it. Dad would never allow us to go to a movie picture show. Dad would never allow us. Well, let's just stop there. What I'm trying to say is now everything's okay. Everything's okay. And Dad wasn't no crackpot. He just loved God. And he wanted his family to love God. The first time I ever went to a theater, our school was showing Gone with the Wind, War Between the States. And the whole school went to the Rialto Theater downtown, and Dad let us go. First time I'd ever been in the doors. You see, things are changing. Things are changing. There's no respect at church anymore. Oh, no, no, no. When I come up, Daddy would beat the stew out of you if you run through the house of God and cut up at that. Nothing holy about this building, but it's what it represents. I'm saying that He changes not. There is no variableness. What He was, He always is. I'm not saying that in the light that what I have been saying about my dad was all right. I'm saying everything about him is all right. And it has never changed. And the holiness that he required in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he requires of you and me today. There is no variableness. There is no changing in him. You see, the Son is a picture of Christ, life, and lordship. We must get back to allowing Christ to be everything. Not some things and part things, but everything. Christ is all in all, Paul said in Colossians. I want to say it there, He's everything. There's nothing left out and you can't add nothing to Him. I'm asking you tonight, do you know this Christ is your Savior? Can you say in your heart and life at this very moment in this local assembly that you know your sins are gone? That you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? My wife knows this. I always make much of my mother. I had a good daddy. But I love my mother. And I wanted to live to please my mama. And mama died and went off and left me. I'm saying that to say this. Jesus came and died for me so that he would never have to leave me. Nor forsake me. He's given us everything. Oh, how we ought to love him. Oh, how we ought to have communion with him. And if you don't know him, you can. You don't have to leave here in darkness. You can go home in light. Because the light of the world has come. Would you bow your heads with me, Father? Thank you for allowing us to assemble together tonight in this manner. Look at your precious word. Thank you that Christ is all in all. I pray, our Father, you would help me to walk in the light as you're in the light. Then, Lord, I want to thank you for these dear men of God that are here tonight that have surrendered their life to carry your word. I pray you would especially snuggle up close to them tonight. Encourage them as they labor in the field that you put them in. And then, Lord, we would not devalue those precious saints of yours that are sitting here that makes it possible that we would have someone to fellowship with, to preach to work with and encourage, and even to know that they are such an encouragement to us. For that one that's in darkness, turn the light on for your children. May they get under the fountain where the glory runs out. In Jesus' name, amen.